Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word, and thank you that you continue to speak to us even today through your word, and pray that that may be so even this evening, that our hearts will be touched, that we will be encouraged, where needed we'll be challenged, that our relationship with you will be deepened. And so, Father, we pray that by your Spirit, your word will come alive within us even this night, for we pray it for your glory. Amen. As we watch the news, listen to the radio, read the newspapers, or however we receive news in this 21st century, it soon becomes very clear that there are many who are in need of comfort. We could think of the family and friends of those who died when the Malaysian aircraft was shot down over Ukraine. We could think of the family and friends of those on the Malaysian aircraft that was, to all intents and purposes, just disappeared, and no one is quite sure where it is. We could think of those who are caught up in the fighting between Israel and Gaza, or in Syria, or the Central African Republic. And so a list we could compile quite easily, which would encompass the world in which we live. Nearer to home, those of us who were here this morning heard an update from Chris Nuttall, how that in a couple of weeks' time she will go back into hospital for major surgery to do with the cancer in her mouth. So no matter what our age or gender may be, no matter what our financial status or our postcode may be, there are times in life when we will all be in need of comfort. Those times when we are finding life is difficult. Those times when we feel that just utterly bewildered by what is happening to us. What those times when we experience the pain of bereavement or the uncertainty due to poor health or a health scare, as Chris Nuttall is going through in the family at the moment. When we face the trauma of losing a job, the bewilderment that comes through a broken relationship. And so we could continue to compile a list. And in these and so many other times of life, we are in need of comfort. We use the word, but I wonder how often do we stop to think about what it actually means. How could we describe comfort? Well, a few suggestions coming from different places. A sense, a knowledge of being loved and cared for. Someone being with us in times of affliction or distress to bring relief or give support. Being given hope and reassurance in times of grief or fear. Being surrounded, wrapped around by love, understanding, and the encouragement to go on. Because comfort is not just about being helped to cope with the present, but comfort is also receiving hope that there is a future and enabling us to move forward into that future as well. But if we recognize that comfort, however we would describe it, is something that we all need, where do we look for it? Where, if you like, is the source of our comfort? When we used to go down to Bristol to look after our little grandson, he had what he called his muzzy. And it was a piece of cloth about the size of a tea towel. And if nasty granddad had towed him off, or he had bumped his head, or he was generally upset, then he would say, "Muzzy, muzzy, muzzy." And if you give him his muzzy, he would shove it in through his mouth, almost as though he's going to get the whole lot in. We used to go down to the local butcher just down the road from where they lived. And the young chap there said, however does your grandson get so much of that cloth in his mouth? It's like a conjuring trick. He could just pull it and it would continue to come out. But it was the one thing that actually brought him, he couldn't describe the word, but it brought him comfort. It brought him reassurance. It was something he could tangibly hold on to. Others will seek comfort in a variety of different places or a variety of different forms. For some, they will seek comfort through eating, even eating excessively. Others may seek comfort through drinking. For others, through going on a spending spree. And I don't know whether it's because I'm a man, but I don't understand the phrase retail therapy. I don't understand how creating a bigger bill can be therapy. But that may be just because I'm a man and I accept that. That's one of those things I have to live with. Others may find comfort through a physical contact, an arm around the shoulder, or someone holding a hand. When Paul writes to the Christians at Corinth, a church which has a very checkered history, and in the opening prayer of praise in this second letter that we have read, he is very clear as to where the source of comfort comes from as far as he is concerned. It's not food. It's certainly not the bottle. It's not possessions. It's not incorrect relationships. For Paul, the source of comfort is not some unknown, distant, aloof figure, nor some inept or inanimate object that has no ability or life of its own. For Paul, the one who is the source of comfort is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, the one in whom greatness and intimacy come together. Greatness, because he is the creator and the sustainer of all that we see around us, as we've been reminded through the morning sermons as we looked at the opening of Genesis. But so much more. And he has the greatness, the ability, the power and authority to make a difference in the lives of people. Something a bottle and not even a lovely slice of homemade fruitcake can do. Our Creator God is well able to make a lot difference in people's lives, to bring, to give comfort, but also intimacy as well. An intimacy revealed to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, through the love and the care that Jesus expressed to others as he walked and shared with others here upon earth, as he reached out to folk, as he touched their lives, and in a real sense bringing hope but also bringing comfort and assurance and a future into the lives of so many. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all comfort. The one who is ever present with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Depending on which translation you read, in John's Gospel, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is described as the Counselor, the Helper, or the Comforter in John chapter 14. He is the one who comes alongside to offer that comfort and so much more, to help us in those times of deepest need. God is there with us at all times. So in those times, when we find ourselves in need of comfort, of reassurance, in need of help, then we need to keep our focus on the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, the one who truly is the source of all comfort. But are there limitations to the scope of God's comfort? It is possible, even if we don't always realize what we are doing, to start putting fences, restrictions up around what God is able to do, as though there are only certain situations, only certain needs where God is able to help us, only certain times where God is able to be at work, only certain situations in which God has the power and the authority to make a difference. Maybe we can do it. Maybe one of the problems is that the size of understanding of God is just too small. Maybe we have a little postcard size of God. You know, I know it begins to show age when you talk about sending postcards when you went on holiday. But you would take a snapshot or you'd buy a postcard of somewhere you've been, as though that wraps it all up and defines it. And we want to, as it were, restrict God into that little picture. Whereas God is so much bigger than ever our understanding of God can grasp. And at times we just need our understanding of God to be enlarged, I was going to say to be blown up, to be increased, so as we actually begin to appreciate just how great and marvelous and wonderful God truly is. Maybe a danger, a problem we face, is that our God is just too small. As I say, Paul had no such understanding or no such misunderstanding. No desire, no intention of restricting God's ability to bring comfort, nor a feeling that a situation could be too small for God to be concerned about either. Because the opposite end of the spectrum is at times to say, well, this is just too big an issue. But also, if we're not careful, we can say, but God really can't be that interested in something so small, something so insignificant. I think I'd want to say that if we're concerned about it, then so is God as well. Paul wrote, "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." Not that God is able to offer us comfort in every situation, but simply he comforts us. He's already active in our time and our life and our situations, no matter what they are. As far as Paul is concerned, it is a positive and a direct statement, who comforts us in all our troubles. I don't know about you, but I find Paul's affirmation concerning God, that he is the one who comforts us in all our troubles, is one which by its very nature brings comfort into me as well. It reminds me, as we sung and in that setting of the 23rd Psalm, of God's amazing love and care for us. His wayward, obstinate, pig-headed, etc., etc., sheep at times. I never realised how awkward sheep could be until one day we were visiting a friend in Wiltshire. He's a Baptist minister there. And as was our friend's way, he kept sheep as well. He had a flock of six sheep. He had them when he was in Cumbria, and when he moved to Wiltshire, the sheep had to come as well. And he wanted to move them from a field up by the vicarage, down through the village, to a field behind the church. He starved them, or so he thought, for a few days. And he had this idea that as he walked down through the village with six others of us helping, he would rattle the can of feed, and these sheep would all meekly follow behind him, and we would get to the other end of the village with no problems at all. Naivety doesn't come into it. He spent the next day knocking on pretty well every door in the village to apologise for the plants that had been eaten and the mess that had been caused. But we are still not outside of God's loving, tender care. We are not beyond his comfort. No matter what I am going through, no matter what you are going through, God is with us to comfort us, if only we will let him. Maybe the letting him is a problem for some of us, because it means recognizing that firstly we have a need of comfort, of help, of encouragement, of being sustained. But secondly, it's not something we can do ourselves. And for some people, that recognition of need is a big step to take, because it blows apart the whole idea of self-sufficiency. So the experiencing of God's comfort, his loving presence being with us to uphold and encourage us, to give us hope, is not restricted or limited to one experience of life, but is inclusive. It enfolds every area of life. However, what Paul writes is in no way to be understood in terms of escapism from our troubles. Paul does not write that God will take us out of our troubles and our difficulties, but rather that God will meet us in our troubles and help us through them, comfort us in all our troubles. Interesting, Paul is not surprised when Christians face suffering and hardship and difficulty. And maybe for some of us it's a timely reminder that being a Christian is not some guarantee of an easy, straightforward life, because it certainly isn't. And Paul knew that from his own experience. Paul does not elaborate exactly as to whether there was something particular he had in mind as far as trouble is concerned, but it could well refer to what he describes in this passage from verse 8 onwards. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life itself. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but from God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. And if you read later in Paul's letter to second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 11, there from verse 24 onwards, we have a list of Paul's experiences. All he endures for the sake of the gospel. And it is in those difficult situations, when almost at times he's despairing of life itself, that he experiences God's comfort, the enabling, the encouragement, the provision to keep going on, even in those difficult times. It's Paul's experience of God's comfort that enables him to continue in his service for Christ. He does not feel isolated. He does not feel forgotten. It's what someone has described as a combination of affliction and comfort. And it is the inclusiveness of Paul's all our troubles that we can speak hope and comfort into our lives even tonight, no matter what we might be going through. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, he is the source of comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, which is the scope of our comfort. And one final point, what I have described in my notes as the sharing of comfort. If we're not careful, it's possible for Christians to go down the route of thinking that what we have experienced from God, the blessings that God has poured upon us, are purely for our own good, for our own blessing, and we end up becoming very protective, but also very insular as well. That's a danger that Paul saw with regard to what is described as spiritual gifts. And the list of some of the spiritual gifts is found, for example, in 1 Corinthians 12. But there we also read, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Paul knows nothing about someone experiencing a blessing which they can just hold on to and see in a very insular way. The blessings we experience as Christians are to be shared generously and not to be kept to ourselves. And that is equally true of the comfort of God we experience as any other. Paul wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we receive from God." What we have experienced of God's comfort is to be used to enable us to offer comfort to others, to reach out to others who are going through times of difficulty and hardship. It is as though the comfort, the help, support, the knowledge of being loved and cared for by God is not something we are to keep, to store up in a receptacle deep inside us, so as to create some sort of internal reservoir that we can draw upon as and when our own personal needs arise. But rather better to be seen in terms of a stream or a river that flows into us and blesses us and refreshes us and helps us and encourages us, and then from us flows out so as to touch the lives of other people. Our experience of God's comfort in our troubles should help us to offer comfort to others in their troubles. And the breadth of our sharing of comfort is to be influenced by what we know of the comfort, help and support Jesus offered to others when he was here on earth. Of being, of meeting with, of journeying with people in their need. Just one or two examples. As Jesus prepared his disciples for his own journey to the cross, Jesus offered them comfort at a time when they did not understand all that Jesus was talking about and all that was going to happen. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Seeking to comfort and encourage his bewildered disciples. In a remarkable way, Jesus brought comfort to the widow of Nain, a lady who was vulnerable, but who to many would have seemed insignificant. He brought comfort to the woman who had suffered from bleeding for many years, and to Jairus through the healing of his daughter. He offered comfort and hope to someone who would have been thought of in terms of being an untouchable, a man suffering from leprosy. He had compassion and offered comfort to the crowd through feeding them. And so the list could go on and on. But even from this small sample, I hope we begin to see that the comfort, compassion, concern of Jesus is not restricted to one group in society. It transcends age, gender, social standing, and so much more. And as it did in the life of Jesus, so it should in our lives as well. So it becomes clear that there is to be a breadth on our part of those to whom we're called to offer comfort to, rather than being selective or restrictive. And that is something which I, and I expect along with many others, will find challenging in itself. So from this passage, we're reminded that the source of comfort is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The scope of comfort is for all our troubles. The sharing of comfort out of our own experiences is to comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you and we thank you that you are indeed the source of all comfort. We thank you for your great faithfulness and for every experience that we have had in our own lives of your comfort and your compassion. Father, we thank you that we can know your comfort in every situation, every experience of life. And we continue to pray for those who are in need of your comfort even this night. And Lord, help us, we pray, to be generous in our sharing of the comfort we have experienced from you, no matter who they may be, and no matter what their circumstances of life may be. Forgive us, Lord, we would ask, for those times when we want to restrict as to where you can work. Forgive us for those times when we want to keep your blessings to ourselves. And help us to see that as you have come to us with open arms, so we are to go to others in the same way. Help us so to do, Lord, we pray, for your glory. For we pray it in your name. Amen.